Chapter 25. I had not talked to Sadasa Sylvia yet about her mother. As far as she knew, I had no information about her past. That was the first step to be taken, to discuss Mrs. Aramchek, to get her to tell me openly what Vallis and the Intercommunications Network had already transferred from their information banks to my mind. We could not work together otherwise. The best place to talk to her, I decided, would be at a good, quiet restaurant. That way we could avoid the possibility of being picked up by a government bug. I therefore phoned her from work and invited her out to dinner.
"I've never been to Del Rey's," she said, "but I've heard of it. They have a cuisine like the San Francisco restaurants. I'm free Thursday night."
On Thursday night, I swung by her apartment, picked her up, and soon we were seated in a secluded booth in the main dining room at Del Rey's.
"What is it you want to tell me?"
she said as we ate our salads. "I know about your mother," I said, "and Ferris Fremont."
"What do you mean?"
In a voice low enough for our safety, I said, "I know that your mother was an organizer for the Communist Party." Sadasa's eyes flew open behind her thick glasses. She stared at me. She had stopped eating. "I know further," I said quietly, "that she signed up Ferris Fremont when he was in his late teens. I know that she trained him as a sleeper, to go into politics with no sign of his real views or his real affiliations." Still staring at me, Sadasa said,
"You are really crazy."
"Your mother is dead," I said, "and so the party, Ferris Fremont, thinks the secret is safe. But as a child, you saw Fremont with your mother and you overheard enough. You're the only person outside the higher ranks of the party who knows. That's why the government tried to kill you off with cancer. They found out you're alive despite your name change and that you know, or they suspect you know. So you have to be killed." Sadasa, frozen in one spot, fork half raised, continued to gaze at me in stricken silence. "We are intended to work together," I said. "This information will go into a record, a folk LP, in the form of subliminal bits of data, distributed so that in repeated playings, a person will unconsciously absorb the message. The record industry has techniques to accomplish that. It's done all the time, although the message has to be simple. Ferris Fremont is a red. Nothing elaborate. One word in one track, another in the next, maybe 8 words maximum, juxtaposed in the playback, like code. I will see that the record saturates this country, will flood the market with it, a huge initial pressing. There will be only one pressing and one distribution, because as soon as people begin to transliminate the message, the authorities will step in and destroy all..." Sadasa found her voice.
"My mother is alive. She's active in church work. She lives in Santa Ana. There's no truth in what you say. I never heard such garbage."
Standing, she set down her fork, dabbed at her mouth. She seemed on the verge of tears.
"I'm going home. You're completely spaced. I heard about your accident on the freeway. It was in the register. You must have gotten your marbles scrambled. You're crazy. Good night."
She walked rapidly away from the booth without glancing back. I sat alone in silence. All at once she was back, standing by me, bending over and speaking in a low, grim voice into my ear.
"My mother is a down-to-earth Republican and has been all her life. She has never had anything to do with left-wing politics, certainly not the Communist Party. She never met Ferris Fremont, although she was present at a rally at Anaheim Stadium when he spoke. That's the closest she ever got to him. She is just an ordinary person saddled with the name Aramchek, which means nothing. The police have investigated repeatedly because of it. Do you want to meet her?"
Sadasa's voice had risen wildly.
"I'll introduce you to her. You can ask her. It's saying crazy things like this that gets people into... Oh, never mind."
Again, she strode off. This time she did not return. "I don't understand," I said to myself. "Is she lying?" Shaken, I managed to finish my meal, hoping she would show up again, reseat herself, and take back what had been said. She did not. I paid the check, got in the Maverick, and slowly drove home. When I opened the apartment door, Rachel greeted me with one brittle sentence.
"Your girlfriend called."
"What did she say?" I said.
"She's at the La Paz Bar in Fullerton. She told me to tell you she walked there from Del Rey's, that she doesn't have any money for cab fare, so she wants you to drive back to Fullerton, to the bar, and pick her up and take her home."
"Okay," I said.
"Do you think you and she can throw Ferris Fremont out of office?"
Rachel called after me sardonically.
"You and she and Vallis?"
That satellite?
Pausing at the door, I answered, No, I don't. Maybe some lesser tyranny in another universe, some despotic ruler of America in an alternate world that's not so bad as this. But this world, this tyrant, no.
I envy the people in that universe.
Me too. I left the apartment and drove from Placentia to the La Paz Bar on Harbor Boulevard in Fullerton. The La Paz Bar is extremely dark, and when I entered I could not see her anywhere. At last I made out her small figure. She sat alone at a small table in the rear, her purse in front of her beside an empty drink glass and a dish of corn chips. Seating myself, I said, I'm sorry I said those things.
It's all right, Sadasa said. You were supposed to say them. I just didn't know how to react. I had to get out of that restaurant. Too many people, too crowded. I had no instructions then as to what to say. You took me by surprise.
Was it true, then, what I said about your mother?
Basically, yes. I've received instructions since I saw you. I know what I'm supposed to say. You are to sit here until I finish talking.
Okay, I said. Sadasa said,
What you told me came from the satellite. There is no other way you could have known it.
That's right, I said.
The information you told me introduced you to me as a member of our organization. A new one. That information is an initial step in understanding the situation, but it is not the full story. I'm to further initiate you into the organization by...
What organization? I said.
Aramchek. Sadasa said.
Then Aramchek exists.
Certainly it does. Why should Ferris Fremont spend half his time trying to stamp out a group that's imaginary? Aramchek includes hundreds, perhaps thousands of people here and in the Soviet Union. I don't really know how many. The satellite reaches each of us directly and on an individual basis. So only the satellite knows who, how many, where, and what we are to do.
What is Aramchek? I said.
I just told you. People here and there contacted and informed by the satellite. The satellite itself is called Aramchek. We get our name from it. You're a member of Aramchek, brought into it on the initiative of the satellite. It is always by the volition of the satellite that someone is brought in, exactly as you were, picked out, selected. We, you and I and the others, are the Aramchek people, exponents of a composite mind emanating from the satellite, which in turn receives its instructions by web from the planets of the Albemuth system. Albemuth is the correct name for the star we call Fomalhaut. We came from there originally, but the mind controlling the satellite is not like ours. Rather, it is... She paused. Much superior. The dominant life form on the planets of Albemuth, whereas we were a less evolved life form. We were given our freedom tens of thousands of years ago, and we migrated here to set up our own colony. When we fell into overwhelming difficulties, the satellite was dispatched to help us, to serve as a link back to the Albemuth system.
I knew most of this already, I said. Sadasa continued,
There is one thing you do not know, or rather do not realize. What has been happening is a transfer of plasmatic, highly evolved life forms from the Albemuth planets via the communications network to the satellite, and from there to the surface of this planet. Technically speaking, Earth is being invaded. That is what is really happening. The satellite has done it before, 2,000 years ago to be exact. It didn't work out that time. The receivers were eventually destroyed and the plasmatic life forms escaped into the atmosphere, taking the receiver's energy with them. You yourself personally were invaded by a plasmatic life form sent in energy form to take control of you and direct your actions. We, the members of the organization, are receptor sites for these plasmatic life forms from the home planets, a sort of collective brain. That's what we now consist of, to our own advantage. They are coming in a very small number, however, for the purpose of helping us. This is not a mass invasion, but rather a small, highly selective one. It was with great deliberation that you were picked out as a receptor site. I was, too. Without this possession, we could not succeed. We may not succeed anyhow.
Succeed at what?
Dislodging Ferris Fremont.
Then that is a major goal.
Yes.
She nodded.
A major goal here, in the limited terms of this planet. You have become a composite entity, part human and part... Well, they have no name. Being energy, they merge together, split apart, and reform into their composite form as a band in the atmospheres of their home planets. They are highly evolved atmospheric spirits who once had material bodies. They are very old. This is why, when your theoleptic-like experience began, you had the impression of a very ancient person seizing possession of you with ancient memories.
Yes, I said.
You thought it was a human being who had died,
Sidassa said.
Didn't you? I thought so too when it happened to me. I imagined all sorts of things. I tried out every theory in the book. Valos let us...
I made up that word, I broke in.
You were given that word. It was placed in your head. It is how we all refer to him. Of course, it isn't his name. It is merely a label, an analysis of his properties. Valos allows us an interval in which to formulate theories acceptable to our own minds in order to minimize the shock. Eventually, when we are ready, we are given the truth. It is a hard blow to take, Nick, to discover the Earth is in the process of being selectively invaded. It conjures up horrific scenes of Martian insects, tall as buildings, landing and kicking over the Golden Gate Bridge. But this is not like that. This is for our benefit. It is selective, cautious, and considerate. And its only antagonist is our own antagonist.
Will these plasmatic life forms leave after Fremont is destroyed? I asked.
Yes, they've come several times before in the past, given help and knowledge, medical knowledge in particular, and departed. They are our protectors, Nick. They come when we need them and then go away.
It fits what I already know, I said. I found that my body was trembling, as if I were cold. Can I have the waitress bring me a drink? I asked Sidassa.
Of course. If you have enough money, I'd like another. A margarita.
I ordered two margaritas. Well, I said as we sat sipping our drinks, it's a lot easier for me now. I don't have to convince you.
I already have the material written out, Sidassa said.
What material? I said, and then I understood. To be inserted as subliminal information on the record album.
Oh,
I said, startled. Can I see it?
I don't have it with me. I'll give it to you during the next few days. It's to go in an album you expect to sell well. You can have anyone record it, preferably one of your most popular artists. It should be, if at all possible, a hit record. This project has been building for years, Nick. For 10 or 12 years. It must not misfire.
What is the message like? I asked.
You'll see it, in time.
She smiled.
It reads like nothing at all.
But do you know what's really in it?
No. Sidassa said. Not completely. It's a song about party time. It goes something like, come to the party. It sounds, of course, like a fun party, you know. Then later the vocal line goes, join the party. The singer says, everybody join the party. And a subtrack goes, is everybody at the party? Is everybody present at the party? Only if you listen carefully, they're saying, is everybody president at the party? And the singer is singing something about joining the party, at the same time the word president is said, repeated in fact by an ensemble answer, president, 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 join, joined the party, and so forth. I could make out that part, but the rest I couldn't.
Wow, I said. It terrified me. I could see how the sound-on-sound would be dubbed in as voice override.
But this record, Sidassa said, which you at Progressive will create and release, contains only half the information. There is another record in production. I don't know who or by where, but Valos will synchronize its release with yours, and together the information bits on the two records will add up to the total message. For instance, a song on the other record might begin in 1941, which was the year Fremont teamed up with the Communist Party. Alone, that figure means nothing. But the DJs will be playing a track on first the Progressive disc and then the other one, and eventually people will be hearing all the information run together as a single total message. Random chance will join the two halves together on station after station.
We will wind up with people walking along humming, the president joined the party in 1941, I said.
Something like that, yes.
Anything more?
What a grand chick, Sidassa said.
Beg pardon?
What a grand chick. Shortening the song to grand chick or a grand chick, except that the backup vocals will occasionally change it from a grand chick to a ram check. Consciously, people listening will continue to construe the words as a grand chick, but But on an unconscious level, they will absorb the altered information.
It goes back to the famous...
I know what it goes back to, I said. The famous LP track still selling in the millions with the smoke dope, everybody smoke dope backup vocal subtrack. She laughed her throaty laugh.
Right.
Ferris Fremont knows about the satellite, does he? I asked.
They've guessed right. They've been searching for it. And now, of course, Georgi Miashka has located it, in cooperation with our own stations. Between the U.S. and the USSR, Aramchek, the satellite, has been pinpointed. The satellite that Miashka is sending up is, of course, armed. It will accidentally explode, taking the Aramchek satellite with it.
Can another satellite be dispatched? I asked. From Albemuth? Sadassa said,
It takes thousands of years.
Stunned, I sat simply gazing at her. And they haven't started one?
One is coming. It will arrive long after every human alive today on this planet is dead.
The Aramchek satellite presently in our sky has been there since the time of the great Egyptian Empire, since the time of Moses. Remember the burning bush? I nodded. I knew the sensation of phosphine activity, blinding my vision, the manifestation of unending fire. We had been helped in our fight against slavery for a long time, but now the days of the satellite were numbered. The Russians could get a satellite up in... Suddenly I realized they probably had one on the launch pad waiting. As the final stage of a rocket, all in place, all they have to do is program its route.
Liftoff, Sadassa said, as if reading my thoughts, will be at the end of the week, and then the satellite dies. The help and information cease.
How can you be so calm about it? I said.
I'm always calm, Sadassa said. I taught myself to be calm. We've known it for months that this was coming. We have the information we need. We have all we're going to get. It should be enough. The Aramchek satellite lasted until its work was done. There are enough of the plasmatic life forms here on Earth to...
I don't think we're going to be able to do it, I said.
But we will make the record.
Oh, yes, I said. We can start tomorrow. Tonight, if you want. I have a couple of ideas who we can get to record it. Releases we were planning anyhow. Good ones. Major ones we intended to promote.
Fine, Sadassa said.
Why did the satellite pick the Jews back in ancient times, I asked, to speak to?
They were shepherds out under the stars, not city dwellers cut off from the sky. There were two kingdoms, Israel and Judah. It was to Judah, the farmers and shepherds, that Valas spoke. Haven't you noticed that you hear the AI operator better when the wind is blowing in from the desert?
I wondered about that, I said.
What we receive, Sadassa said, is para-radio signals, a radiation enclosure of the radio beam, so that if the radio message is decoded, it signifies nothing. That is why Dr. Miashka has never been able to unscramble the instructions passing from the satellite to Earth. The radio signal alone is only half the total information. The violent phosphine activity you experience from time to time, especially when the plasmatic personality was beaming down, is stimulated by radiation, not the radio signal. That kind of radiation is unknown to us here. Except for the phosphine response, it passes unnoticed, and only the receiving person experiences the phosphine response. Other organisms may experience changes in blood volume and pressure, but that is all.
I said, That can't be the only reason the ancient Jews were selected, because they lived outdoors.
No, that's not the only reason. That's why they were accessible to approach and contact. The position of ancient Judah to the tyrannical empires was the same as ours is to Ferris Fremont. They were an unassimilated remnant of mankind, unsullied by power and majesty. They always fought the empires, whatever they were. They always strove for independence and freedom and individuality. They were the spearhead of modern man, opposed to the crushing uniformity of Babylon and Assyria, and most of all Rome. What they were to Rome then, we are to Rome now.
But remember what happened in 70 AD, I said, when they revolted against Rome. Complete massacre of their people, destruction of the temple, and dispersion forever. Sadassa said,
And you're afraid of that happening now?
Yes, I said.
Ferris Fremont will destroy us whether we attack him or not. At the end of this week, he will shoot the Aramchek satellite down via Soviet technology. Meanwhile, the Fappers are trying to locate all the tandem personalities created by the satellite. People like you and me, Nick. That's why the confession kits. That's why the growing police supervision.
You didn't know what they were searching for when they came to you, but they did.
Have they caught very many of us?
I don't know, Sadassa said. Since we rarely have contact with one another, such as you and I have as we sit here. But I've been told that half the organization has been discovered on a person-by-person basis and killed. We are killed when we are found, not imprisoned. Often killed as they tried to kill me, by toxin. The government arsenals possess very potent toxins as a weapon of domestic war. They leave no traces in the body. No coroner can ascertain the cause of death.
But you lived on, I said.
The fact that Valis healed me, Sadassa said, was unexpected to them. Metastasizing cancer had riddled my body before he intervened and healed me. I was healed of it in a day. All the cancer cells, even in my spinal column and brain, disappeared. The doctors could find no trace.
What happens to you when the satellite is destroyed?
I don't know, Nick, she said calmly. I guess I succumb once more. Maybe not. Maybe Valis's healing is permanent.
If it is not, I realized, then I regain my internal chest injuries from the auto accident. But I said nothing.
What frightens you the most about this whole situation? Sadassa asked. The invasion?
That was what... The end of the satellite, I said.
Then you're not frightened at what has happened to you, to each of us?
No, I said. Well, frightened in a good way, because it was such a surprise, and I didn't understand it, but it saved me from the police.
You got something in the mail?
Yes, I said.
They can detect the general area of a massive transmission printout. They knew the beam went to someone in your area. They probably mailed, the police cryptographers, I mean, probably mailed similar material to everyone near you. What did you do with it?
Phoned up FAP. But it wasn't me. It was... I hesitated, not knowing how to refer to it.
Firebright, Sadassa said.
What? I said.
That's how I refer to the plasmatic entity in me. I call it Firebright. That's a description, not a name. He's like a little egg of pale, cold fire, glowing with life up here.
She touched her forehead.
It's strange to have him inside me, alive and unnoticed, hidden in me as he's hidden in you. Others can't see him. He's safe.
She added,
relatively safe.
If I am killed, I said, will he die with me?
He's immortal.
She gazed at me for a time.
So are you now, Nicholas. Once Firebright bonded to you, you became an immortal creature. As he goes on, you go on with him. When your body is destroyed and he leaves, he will take you with him. They won't desert us. As you and I have housed and sheltered them, they will take us along into eternity.
A reward? I asked.
Yes, for what we've done or tried to do. They value the effort, the attempt, as equal to the achievement. They judge by the heart. By intention. They know we can only do so much, that if we fail, we fail. We can only try.
You think we're going to fail too, I said. Sadassa said nothing. She sipped her drink.